Bible tonight, we're going to look in the book of 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy, look with me there. 2 Timothy. I want you to look with me in that book tonight, 2 Timothy. I'll read a few verses, starting at verse number 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And I'll stop reading there tonight. I want to preach on commitment or being committed.
Amen.
Six times Paul in his talking and instruction to Timothy used the word commit or committed. Used it six times to this young man of God about being committed. Boy, it's a lost word in our vocabulary in the Baptist church in this day, commitment. Under God, you'd like to see somebody say, "I'm just going to be committed." You know that word committed means delivered in trust, given in charge, a deposit. I tell you, you know what? We just needed some committed people. And I'll tell you this, Paul said he counted me faithful, having put me into the ministry. He went ahead and said, "God counted me faithful, put me into the ministry. This thing's been committed to my trust. God committed it to me, and I need to commit myself to God because he committed it to me." And I'm going to tell you, you'll either get all the way in, or you won't never be used for God. You never will do much for God until you get all the way in. Amen. This thing of half-heartedness and lukewarmness and going halfway with God never will get the job done. You got to have to get all the way in, amen, and commit yourself to God. Do what God says. I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll end up being useless and worthless. And Paul said, "I don't want, when I preach to others, to be a castaway. I don't want to be worthless. I want to have some faith. I don't want to run in vain." He said, "I want to run with a purpose and run to obtain. Thank God that when I finish this course, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for in heaven for me, and not to me only, but to all that live, them that love his appearing." Amen.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, no matter what you do, you ought to be committed to him.
Yeah.
That's right. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, we live in a day, marriage is not committed no more. Church members not committed no more. A preacher is not committed no more. God help us, I tell you. It's time to commit ourselves. Paul, I felt so ashamed reading this today. I felt so ashamed the way the church world is today. I felt so ashamed to say we got air conditioning and padded pews. Thank God we got every modern day convenience. Hey, man, these men laid in chains. They laid handcuffed in a prison. They, my friend, had to face affliction. I'd say we're not getting the job done too much while we're laying around in comfort. Amen.
Right.
I tell you, that's right. You say it's a different day. I know it is. It's not a different gospel. It's not a different God. Same God. Brother Denny and them just enjoyed a good camp meeting talking about it. That's wonderful. It's refreshing. In fact, Paul talked about what is his name there, Onesiphorus. He said he often refreshed me.
Yeah.
You know what that word refresh there means? It's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what that means. He said he'd come by and he's like a breath of fresh air. Amen. I tell you, thank God for that breath of fresh air that we can get somewhere under the camp meeting. Thank God, maybe somebody come by and preach. Thank God, the Holy Ghost come by the service. Somebody give you a phone call and refresh you. Somebody say something encouraging. Amen. That refreshes you, helps you, encourages you. Build you up in the faith and help you go on for God. Hey, we need refreshed. Amen. He said he wasn't ashamed of my chain. He said he wasn't ashamed to come see me down there in the jailhouse while I was in handcuffs. He said he wasn't ashamed of me. He was a refreshing man come by to me. Amen. You know why he's like that, don't you? Because he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I tell you what, he wasn't ashamed because of his conversion. I'm going to tell you, you never will be committed until you know you saved. You got to be truly saved before you have to be committed to God. I'm going to tell you, you never will stay in the battle unless, friend, you're saved. Thank God, man, there's a lot of people on stony ground. That first they receive with joy the Word of God, but when tribulation comes, or trials for the Word's sake, they're offended, and they, my friend, and God don't have no root in themselves and don't live for God and they're not committed. I tell you, the first thing you got to have if you got to be committed is have a true conversion. Amen. That's right. That means God done something supernatural in your heart. That means He saved you by grace through faith and gave you peace with the God of heaven and birthed you in the family of God and washed you in the blood and passed you from death unto life and called you one of the redeemed, and the Holy Ghost bore witness of what He did. Amen. Thank God. And He told you you're saved, and the Bible told you you're saved, and the witness of the new life told you you're saved, and you know you've been born again. And God, you know what you God's real. You know what you got to say? Got to pass the test. You know what you got to stand? Thank God, I'm not afraid. Thank God to die, friend. Because I'm not going to die. Amen. That's right. That's why he said there in that verse, he said in verse number 10, he said, who's abolished death. That means he put it away. You know what death is to a child of God? It's like walking in another room.
Yes, yes.
That's what it's like. It's like leaving the room of the earth and walking in the room of heaven. Amen. That's right. He abolished it. He took it away. Christ rose again. Sting of death's not there to a child of God. He abolished that. That's the hope we have. That's why Paul said, I'm committed unto Him against that day. Unto the day comes. Unto the day. Thank God in His kingdom. I've been committed because I've been converted. Amen. That's right. I tell you, we're not committed because He was converted. He was committed because of His calling. He went ahead and said, you got to put these scriptures together. He's saying here, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Why? Because I'm appointed a preacher. He said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. That was his calling. He was a preacher of the gospel. He was called. He was a top Pharisee. But after he got converted, thank God, he was a preacher of the gospel.
Right.
He preached Christ in the synagogue. Thank God. He is called. He said, He separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace and called me to go out and reveal His Son in me. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. That means that God ordained that man in the mind of God before the world began, but at the end of time He saved him and called him. Jeremiah was ordained before he was ever born.
Yes,
yeah. John the Baptist, thank God. Somebody said, well, was John the Baptist saved? I said, he was filled with the Holy Ghost from mother's womb.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He was born for the purpose of being a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's chosen person or man, thank God, because he said there's a man sent from God whose name was John. And John's purpose was to, thank God, to prepare the way of the Lord. And thank God when he came, tell who he is. He's the Lamb of God. But I'll tell you what, Paul said, I'm going to be committed because I'm a preacher. Amen. That's right. He said, I'm not only a preacher, I'm an apostle. That means that I have seen the resurrected Christ. I've seen him, one born out of due time. There's no apostles living today. Christ, thank God, revealed himself to Paul on that day when he was saved. He's seen him. Wonder what all he's seen when he was called to the third heaven too. He said, I've seen things that it was unlawful for a man to utter. He said, I can't come back and tell you what I seen up there, what I heard. And he said, you know, God sent a messenger to buffet me that I wouldn't be exhausted beyond measure, that he put a thorn in my flesh. Hey, man. He said, but I'd rather therefore glory in my infirmities, my necessities, persecutions, that the power of God might rest on me, that the power of God might be on my life. Amen. Yeah, man, that's right. Here's a man that went to heaven, third heaven, paradise. But he couldn't tell nobody what he seen. And he couldn't tell nobody what he heard. Amen.
Yeah.
He is an apostle. Yeah. He has seen the Lord. Two things about an apostle. Number one, they've seen Jesus.
That's right.
That's right. Number two, their converts remained. What did Paul tell the Corinthians? When they asked him about his apostleship, he said, you're the seal of it. You're the seal of my apostleship. That's right. Every apostle, thank God, preached the gospel. And they had fruit in their life. Read 1 Corinthians 9. The whole chapter deals with him declaring his apostleship, and thank God he had seen the Lord. That's what he said over there. Have I not seen the Lord? Or you're not the seal of my apostleship. Thank God, friend. Even in 2 Corinthians 13, he said, examine yourselves. He was telling them that, examining him, questioning his apostleship. He said, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove yourselves, know you're not your own selves, that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The whole thing about that was, they're trying to examine him. He said, examine yourself. But he was an apostle. And then he said, I'm a teacher of the Gentiles. He was a church builder. He instructed men. This New Testament, the majority of it, was written by him. The epistles to the church, which we get church doctrine from. He was a servant. He was committed to serving. Now, I want to say this, I don't know of anybody like this man. I'm talking about now, not talking about Jesus, I'm talking about human man, not the God man, that was committed to the gospel as much as this man. There was nothing that moved him away from the gospel. There was nothing that would cause this man not to be committed to the call of God. That was his heartbeat. That was his life. That was what he lived for. That's what he, my friend, desired. Thank God, my friend. Everything about this man, it was about the gospel. He said our conversation, our manner of living is about the gospel. I'm going to tell you what, we live in an idolatrous day. God help. We use scripture and we abuse it that we might have our way.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I mean, I can't make no excuses for why I'm not as committed as I ought to be, because thank God I've got the gospel. I've got the treasure of God in me. Like you do, if you've been saved, we have this treasure in earth and vessels, and we ought to be committed to the calling. And he called everybody in the church unto the ministry of reconciliation, that we're ambassadors, we represent him, and we ought to be committed to the gospel. Amen. calling to God. I tell you this, he was committed to his course. He had a course. It was the will of God for him. How many times he say about the will of God? Amen. Notice verse 1 of that chapter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, it was his course. And what's your course, thank God? You ought to run it.
Yes.
I mean, you got a course tonight. You got a course. Our course ought to be involved in evangelism.
Yes, right.
What was Paul's desire? The gospel. The preaching. Why? That sinners might be saved. That the God that saved him might be glorified. That the church he was preaching to might be edified. Yes. In fact, we're way behind in evangelism. We're way behind in evangelism. I'm going to tell every one of you tonight, eyeball to eyeball, God didn't save you to warm a pew. But where's your fruit by you? Where are you committed to? Wait a minute, preacher. I go to work every day. That's good. Brother Joe said it right. The vocation is Christ and his will. There's a lot of people that I worked 10 hours when I got saved. I was working 10 hours a day, 55 hours a week. When I come to church on Wednesday night, I was there at 6:30. That's one thing God told me when I got saved. He said, don't let nothing ever hinder you from the house of God. Be committed to it.
Right.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Don't let nothing ever get in the way of you preaching the gospel. Nothing. Don't let nothing. You got the most high calling that a man could ever possess in a life. Thank God that's being saved and called to preach. And there's no higher calling than that. And we ought to be committed to the call of God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what tonight, friend. We just need to get committed.
Right.
There's very few churches that's committed to the gospel.
Right.
We're riding the easy road. That's why we have no affliction. That's why he said be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Because the gospel always brings affliction.
Yeah. Amen.
It'll bring hardship. It'll bring discouragement. It brings a hard time in life. Amen. Because of preaching and standing for God, there's always disappointment and discouragement.
Right.
There's disappointment in preaching, pastoring. You get in the car and you feel like you're lonely sometimes. You feel like, I'm just not doing nothing. I don't feel like I'm accomplishing much. And you talk to people about God, preach the Word of God, and you witness about God, and you don't see no results, and you get discouraged, and you get disappointed, and you get like Jeremiah, and said, I won't mention his name no more, but thank God you just can't quit. You got a burning in your bones, it's a fire of God that says, I gotta go on, I gotta tell it again, hey, there's something better on the day of judgment. If I'll just be committed, amen. That's right. That's being committed. That's what I want you to get in your heart tonight. I'm going to be committed by the grace of God. That's right. And I'm going to tell you what. He committed some things to Paul. And Paul in turn committed to that. He told Titus too. He said over there in Titus chapter 1, over there in the Word of God, he talked about that. He said this, he said over there, he said, but in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's committed. God called me to preach back in 1986. He got in my heart, and I knew God was putting it on me. I want to preach. I'm scared.
Amen.
I really was scared to stand before people.
Yeah.
But I had such a big Savior.
Amen.
And a big God that lived in me.
Yeah.
And when I got up, it wasn't that I tried to turn the light on, it just came on.
Right.
And before I knew it, I was talking about him, thank God. And that was, hey, it didn't matter how long I preached, that wasn't the issue. It was just, thank God, delivering my heart and telling sinners and saints how good Jesus is, how good it is to be saved. Amen. I can't still ought to be that way. We've lost the joy of salvation. We've lost the happiness of it and the zeal of it. Thank God, we ought to be fired up. Thank God. To be committed to the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. Committed. He's committed to the course. He's committed to the call. And he was committed to his companions in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Timothy was his son after the faith. Boy, I like what Paul told him. He said, you know, over there in verse 5, notice what he said here. He said, when I call the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He said, I bring that to my remembrance. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in me, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois.
Yeah.
And thy mother Eunice. He said, that saving faith you got, your grandma had it, your mama had it.
Yeah.
Wonder how far it went back. I don't know. I don't say nothing about Timothy's daddy, but he was a Greek. He was in a mixed marriage, if you don't say that. But the fact of it is, he had saving faith within him. And when Paul brought the memory, thank God, he said, I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. And he said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. He's remembering this man. Thank God he had some commitment to the man of God. Amen. The one that had got saved and was under him in the faith. He said, I'm remembering the faith. He said, I remember the calling in you. And this is what he said. He said, well, I put thee in remembrance that thou stood the gift of God, which is in me by the putting on of my hands. He said, you need to stir up that gift. Get them coals stirred again. There might be some fire of God.
Amen.
He said, God had not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. That means we're not to be afraid, thank God. We to have boldness and courage in standing for the gospel. That's what he said right there. God give us that spirit. That word there takes the same meaning. Oh, there is Joshua. He said, be of good courage. Thank God. Amen. Stand for God. Be committed. What's people say about our lives? Is that a committed man, committed lady of God, loves Jesus? Hey, committed. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. They see your life. They read it like a book. Paul said, he said, ye are epistles, talking to them Corinthians, known and read of all men. So they reading you. You're our epistles, they reading your book. They reading you. That's what he said. Thank God for forgiveness tonight. Restoration. You think Peter would have been committed? After Jesus rose again and met with them in that room and breathed on them and experienced the very breath of God. I mean, the very breath of Christ breathed on them men, gave them commands, told them to go out and preach the gospel. As God has sent me, even so send I you. Ain't God seen the resurrected Christ in a glorified body? Ain't God ate with him? It looks like to me he would have been committed after that, don't it? You'd think sometimes in the Baptist church, you get in a good Holy Ghost service, and God get around like He did Sunday night, and you'd say unto God, people's got to be committed the way God's blessed them, the way God used them, and before you know it, you gone fishing. That's right. He took 7 men with Him. Boy, don't that show you this, the grace of God? Don't it show you this, God? Hey man, don't you ever think you ever arrived? Don't you think you ever got to a place in your own life that you've arrived? You hadn't arrived. Hey God, you hadn't apprehended what He apprehended you for yet. That's why Paul said, I press toward the mark. I want to be committed to doing that. He said, there's a mark I got to go for. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. If you don't have no goal in your life, had a mark to press to, what are you running for?
Yeah.
You ever saw, I like to see them running races. I really ain't a long distance man, even though Christian life's a long distance race. I always like to see them 100 yard dashes. It'll take a long distance race. 1 mile, 2 miles. Can you imagine the man blowing they're off. And they run a couple laps and one man looks at the next and says, "What you running for?" And he says, "I don't know." Because you are.
Yeah, how about that?
Do you know what God wants you to do tonight? He wants you to obey that book. And He surely wants you to be a witness of grace that's been wrought in your heart, in your sinful heart. That brought you out of darkness into light. He wants you to, hey God, bear witness of what He done for you. I know He wants that. Have you thought in your prayer life, oh, you say, "Preacher, God hadn't laid it on my heart." Get out of here with that. That's what people say. Well, God just hadn't laid it on my heart yet. Well, I'm glad God lays things on my heart, but He don't have to lay nothing on your heart what the Bible says do.
Yeah.
Thank God down at the marriage supper when Mary said, "What He saith, how do you do it?" And Jesus said, "Take him water pots and fill him up with water." What did they say? "Well, this ain't on my heart yet to do it." That's the way a lot of people live. "You just didn't know my heart. I'm going to tell you what He says. You better get to doing it."
Amen.
Right. Amen. You don't know what to do? God says it in the book.
Yeah.
When you leave Him doors tonight, have you ever thought, have you thought in your prayer life or thought in your life? I understand no in your life. I understand no that she's a fruit.
Yes.
I understand no for the ministry, they're fruit. And Jesus said, I'm not saying that John 15 is dealing with souls. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But I am saying this, that there will be some fruit in a man's life that's been saved.
Yeah.
Because he's running for that purpose.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, listen to me, you will not obtain it if you don't act upon it.
All right.
Oh, we got a church building, people out here, they ride by all the time, preacher. That's a wonder, they ought to pull in here. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I doubt any of you done that, did you? Did you just ride down the road one day and just say, "Hey, I believe I'll just go to church so I see a building with a steeple on it"? No, you was invited. I guarantee I'd go to Brother Murray, Brother Hip, Brother Parker, Brother Todd. It don't matter who I'd go to. Somewhere, somebody was an instrument in your life that gets you in the house of God. Amen. And you heard the gospel and got saved. God used somebody. And wouldn't it be good enough to know, thank God, God can use you if you'd get busy about it. Amen. That's right. That's what his course was. To preach the gospel. To be involved.
Right.
And I'd ask God tonight, "Lord, I want to be a help to somebody."
Amen.
"Lord, I understand, no, you have to save them." And I planted and Apollos watered. And God gave increase.
Yeah.
But Lord, if a man's going to plant, he's got to work. And if a man's going to water, he's got to work.
Right.
Some of y'all gardeners, I'm not a gardener. One time we tried it and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
Didn't work, brother. Corn looked bad. Tomatoes looked bad. Everything looked bad. I like them orange pumpkins. I thought I'd throw some of them seeds in the ground. Son, I had better pumpkins grow up, but where I just threw the seeds out and they come up better than what I growed.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't got no green thumb. But some of you's good at it. My daddy's sharp at that, son. He works like everything in that garden. He's got it looking good. Some of you old timers know about it. But I'll tell you what, you don't get tomatoes, you don't get nothing unless you work it.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, you can sit here and say, bless God, people just don't come to church no more because they got so much to do, and this church is this different and all this and that, but I'm telling you, that's a lie. You can sit on that island, it's all you want to. Hey friend, it's not that, it's because we don't work it.
Right.
One of the biggest sins of Sodom, outside of sodomy, was pride. If this is not America, describe pride.
Yes, go ahead.
Fullness of bread.
Yeah,
idleness. That means they didn't do nothing. They didn't do nothing. They just sat around and didn't do nothing. Brother Denny got a desire and burden to see that gospel work go and put them messages on the internet, sermon audio. Had over 3,000 downloads, 3,200 I think about in the month of May. We had 44 states and 45 countries listen sometime last month to the gospel. Now, I could not tell you when they listened what God did.
That's right.
But hey, God didn't tell me. Hey, amen. He'd let me know what He done then. He just said, God does. We got to be committed. We got a bunch of people in the church that says, I believe I'll just try that. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. That's about what people's got in their heart. We're going to try it.
Yeah.
Instead of commit to it. Yeah. Paul, he said, hey, listen, he said, I know whom I have believed.
Yes.
And he didn't say, I know in whom. He said, I know who.
Yeah.
Right.
That one fellow said, don't mess me up. Put in there, thank God. He said, I know whom. Not in whom, but whom. Take the in out. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I could get a little rough night, and I love you too much to just jump on you because I don't believe in doing that unless God touches me. But we're some of the slowfulest people, and we're doing the King's business. This church house ought to look better than our house.
Yeah.
This church yard ought to look better than our yard.
Yeah.
That's right. We ought to be here on time. We ought to come ready to worship.
Amen.
And we ought to come praying.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you would tell the difference if we'd just get committed.
Amen.
Just get committed. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, friend. David was a committed man. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said, I'd rather be committed to open the back door of the house of God than to commit myself to wicked living. Are you committed? That's between you and the Lord. But I'll tell you this, we need to be committed. Whatever God told you, you need to be committed to it. Amen. That's right. God help us. I appreciate you and love you and thank God for you. We'll trust the Holy Ghost to take this message and work in our hearts. Help us to get more serious about the things of God. About being committed. Brother Shank, pray for us tonight.